Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we're here every weekday to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. And we want to hear from you today to know what's on your mind, so please give us a call at 844-322-2742. Anything you'd like to bring to the table today, we're here to talk with you about it. In both the U.S. and Canada, the number is the same, 844-322-2742, and we invite your calls right now. Whatever the question, whatever the circumstance, it's Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. And Bob and Andrew, as we get started today, a shout-out to say happy birthday to my grandson, Bobby, celebrating his 32nd birthday today. And Bob, as you know, Bobby has been more like a son to me than I can even tell you, and I couldn't be more proud of his accomplishments and the bond of love that has developed between us since the day he was born. So happy birthday to my Bobby boy, and love you so much, Bud. And now Bob Christopher is going to take it away.
Well, appreciate you saying that. Bobby's been a part of our lives since he was born. You led him to Christ at a very young age, and just an outstanding young man. So happy birthday as well. Andrew, welcome to the broadcast. Awfully glad to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about something that is really in your wheelhouse. We talk all the time here at Basic Gospel about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that story becomes our story by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. Just as Christ died, we died with him. Just as he was raised from the dead, we're raised with him. And I think this grace of God that we experience is really God's favor that moves us through death into new life with Jesus. And so it identifies us with Jesus. It puts us in union with Jesus in all aspects of his story. So his story becomes our story, and it's a beautiful story, but oftentimes we don't realize how deep that identification is with Christ, the fact that he died, we've died in him, and we see a lot of that in the New Testament, don't we, Andrew?
Yeah, we do. I don't even know what to say on this. You're right. It's so deep and so profound. I mean, it's one thing that Jesus died for our sins, and that's incredible and awesome, and we're forgiven, and we're going to heaven, and that's all great. But to add this to it, oh my goodness, you've been brought through a heart surgery. You've been carried through death and resurrection. You died. It wasn't just Jesus dying on that cross. He took you spiritually and caused you to be crucified, buried, and raised. When I was a kid, my mom collected these Russian dolls, you know, the Matushka dolls. You pull one head off of the doll, and underneath is another one, and then you open that one, and inside is another. And I'm sure you've seen these over the years, but it just reminded me, you know, looking back on that, it reminds me of what the scripture is saying about us being in Christ and Christ being in us. And, you know, this is what Jesus prayed for, that they would be in us and we would be in them, and that they would be one just as we are one. So the Trinity got together and cooked up this beautiful idea of us being in them and them being in us. I mean, Jesus said, whoever believes, we will come and make our house in that person. And so when we get put in Christ, it's like we're attending our own funeral. It's like we're signing our own death certificate, and then we call ourselves born again. Well, you can't be born again unless you died first, and that's what Galatians 2:20 is. I've been crucified with Christ. That's what Romans 6 is. Our old self died. And even Colossians 2, it says you died with Christ to the elementary principles of this world. So why in the world do you think you need rules? It's not about keeping rules. If you've died with Christ, if you're resurrected now, if you've got this bond with him, it's not about rules. It's about letting Christ rule in your heart by faith. And guys, when you realize you're new, you can truly live free.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said, the fact that there's no resurrection apart from death. That's why the good news story starts with the death of Jesus Christ. He died and then was raised again, and which means we've been carried through death with Christ, and we've come out on the other side alive in Jesus. And boy, it doesn't get any better than that. So let's talk about it today on Basic Gospel. If you have questions about a particular Bible verse or what your identification with Christ really is all about and how it plays out in your day-to-day experience, today is a perfect time to talk about it. So call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742.
Poignant and compelling. Everything we need to know about the grace of God and how marvelously perfect is God's plan for our life in Jesus Christ. That's what John Andrews, author of The Outlaw Preacher, says, and that is Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And friends, we want to send you a copy when you click donate and make your gift at basicgospel.net. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. It will really, really impact your life because you can see what he went through as he was coming up at an early age, and he had a lot of great experiences and some not so great experiences as well. So we know you're going to enjoy Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. Your copy awaits as you donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew had a question that was sent to me via email a couple of weeks ago, and it was about Paul circumcising, I think, Titus in the book of Acts. And the question was, why in the world would Paul have done such a thing when he was writing, you know, that circumcision doesn't matter in the book of Galatians? What was the reason for that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you look at this idea of being half Jew, half Gentile, and Paul in one case is saying, hey, you know what, with Titus, we're going to go ahead and do this because it doesn't mean anything. And if it's going to get people off our back and we can be strategic about it, then I'm going to become all things to all people so that I might win some. And then you look at, you know, Timothy in the opposite decision. So you've got one case where Paul concedes to circumcision, another case where he refuses to circumcise. And I think, guys, you see Paul's attitude of freedom here. If you're in Christ and you're free, then what does that mean? Well, then you can hang out with legalists and not be threatened and not be angered and not be frustrated. Not that they have to be your best friends, but you're going to do anything and everything for the gospel. And, you know, when someone's a Greek through and through, they really have no business being circumcised. It doesn't make you right with God. And Paul was very leery of that and didn't want to communicate the wrong thing to the Greek world. But at the same time, you know, if there's an obstacle, a hindrance, a blockage to getting the gospel out to the Jews, then in another scenario, he decides, all right, well, what is this? A circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. So what's the big deal? Let's just proceed and share Jesus with the Jewish world and the Gentile world alike. So at the end of the day, guys, I mean, we've got a message that is far and away greater than any message about circumcision. And therefore, we can operate in our freedom and weave in and out of legalistic environments and grace environments and share Jesus along the way and not feel threatened because we know at the end of the day, we are free, and nobody can take that from us.
Absolutely. And I think the key phrase, the operative word there, is for the sake of the gospel. And we see that missing in a lot of decision-making as far as Christians are concerned today. Why do I do something? Well, I think the compelling reason that Paul did everything he did was for the sake of the gospel, so that he could proclaim that, he could freely share that in hopes that those who heard it could be saved and could experience new life in Christ Jesus. And I think there's a lot of things that we get bogged down, a lot of decisions that we get bogged down with because we get sucked into secular thinking about it or human thinking about it. And we forget, well, wait a minute, there's something bigger. We're a part of something bigger than ourselves. This is a decision that needs to be made for the sake of the gospel. How is that going to play out in day-to-day life? And I think when we do that, when we elevate our thinking and say, hey, what does this look like for the sake of the gospel, then I think we'll experience that freedom and joy in even greater measure as we lay it out that way.
Yes, and you know, Paul was being accused. He was being accused of being a Moses hater, a law hater, all of those things, a law basher, speaking against Moses. And really, he was speaking for Jesus, not against Moses. But when you understand the gospel, all of that becomes clear. And so I think to build a bridge, you know, in Acts 16, we see Paul is encouraging Timothy to be circumcised, and it's for that reason. It's building a bridge, not burning it. It's not bashing Moses. It's highlighting Christ and the fact that he has fulfilled the law, and Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. But for those who don't believe, they're not going to get it until that veil is removed. And so sometimes God calls us to be sensitive, even to the legalist, if it means furthering the gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk to Jeff, who's listening to us on The Word today. Hey, Jeff, welcome to Basic Gospel Radio, my friend.
Hey, guys, can you hear me okay on this connection?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I want to reword my question a little bit. I've been thinking about it. I basically want to know how to get my zeal back for God. I want to fulfill the Great Commission, but I feel like my life isn't a good enough representation to be able to show people the power of Jesus, almost as if I don't feel my sin.
Uh-oh, I think we lost Jeff. There he is.
Oh.
Jeff, we're having trouble with your connection there.
Go ahead.
Okay, I took you guys off the Bluetooth. Can you hear me a little better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so yeah, I just want some scripture and some advice on, you know, I feel like I've been trying so hard just to pray and follow God, and my life just seems like a struggle so much of its own that I really don't have any worthiness to tell other people about, you know, the saving power of Jesus, and I want to try to overcome that.
Okay. All right, Jeff, great question. Really appreciate hearing from you today. And, you know, I think the enemy is doing a job on you here of making you feel accused and unqualified and oppressed in terms of the standard that you're supposed to meet. Let me just give you a little snapshot of what I believe you are experiencing. So you wake up and thoughts hit you like, I'm not fulfilling the Great Commission. I'm not sharing my faith enough. I don't have a good enough reputation. I sin too much. I'm not praying enough. I don't follow God enough. And I'm not worthy to represent God. And so all of those accusations hit you. And if those things hit me, I'm toast. I'm done if I don't know how to respond to those. So I just want to encourage you that those are lies. I mean, first of all, the Great Commission was given to the disciples, and then it was given to the whole body of Christ over thousands of years. It's never to be a Lone Ranger attitude where you got to be out going door to door or pushing yourself into unrealistic situations or uncomfortable circumstances to try to militantly get people to convert, and then finally you'll be right with God. I mean, I tried that. I lived that. It didn't work. It was a pipe dream. It was empty. I think you're being accused on a number of fronts, and the only answer to that accusation is, you know, 2 Corinthians 3, God has qualified me. I'm qualified because of the new covenant. I'm qualified because of the cross, not because of my lack of sinning. I'm qualified because of Jesus, not because of how much I pray. I'm qualified because of Christ, not because of how diligently I'm following God. So there's some ideas kind of spinning around in your head, you know, am I following God enough? Oh my goodness, I'm sinning too much. Oh my goodness, my reputation is not good enough. I'm not witnessing enough. I'm not praying enough. It's that gospel of do more and be more that is killing you, and it would discourage anybody. It would discourage me. I'm sure it would discourage Bob. It discourages all of us when we buy into that. And so I think you really need a heavy dose of freedom, my friend. I think you need to load up on truth that sets you free and get to know the grace of God better. And I know Bob has a great resource that he could offer you on that as well.
Yeah, Jeff, I lived for many years of my Christian life wanting to be God's guy. And so I had this standard I was trying to reach, and none of my human efforts, none of my works got me to that point. So I just lived the first part of my Christian life just as a miserable wretch almost. I mean, I lost a sense of purpose. I felt defeated, frustrated. I struggled. I kept begging and pleading with God. And finally, I just threw up my hands and gave up and said, I can't do it. I can't be what I think you want me to be. I've given it my best shot, but I'm giving up. And Jeff, that was the greatest thing for me, that give up, because it was at that point that I started learning the truth about what Christ had actually accomplished for me. And I began to turn that struggle and that striving and that angst into rest in Jesus Christ, resting in his finished work and rejoicing in the fact that he was actually alive living in me and that I was already pleasing to him. And when that started happening, guess what? I started to see all of these opportunities, these conversations just started happening where it was as natural as you could have possibly imagine it, of just talking about Jesus and seeing God do his work in people's lives. So I think the biggest thing for you, Jeff, is to come to a point and say, Lord, I'm giving up. I'm done with the struggle. I'm done with trying to reach this standard. I want to learn to rest in your finished work on the cross, and I want to learn to rejoice in the fact that you're alive living in me, and then I'm just going to leave the results of that in your hands, and I guarantee you it's just going to be amazing. So what I'd like to do, Jeff, is put you on hold and send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I think it will open that door of freedom for you in ways that you never dreamed imaginable.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. You hang on, Jeff, and we're right here in your neck of the woods. So let's see if we can stay connected and grow in grace together. Okay, my friend?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff, you hold on. We'll get your information, and we'll send you that book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, okay?
Yeah.
You hang on.
844-322-2742, time on the clock, and open lines for you, friends. We'd love for you to call, as Jeff did, and pose your question or your particular situation. Be glad to discuss it with you right now here at Basic Gospel as Andrew Farley joins Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And, again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. A question from David, who, by the way, posed his question through the Basic Gospel app. And let me say that stalwart tech guy Greg did a great job creating that app. And if you don't have it, friends, you can download it from the App Store, and we hope that you'll do that. Yeah. Well, in reference to the question that's from Galatians 3, why are we not justified by our efforts to keep the law?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the reason for that is that we would never do it. And secondly, there's nothing about tablets of stone that can impart life. So I think we come at this from two different angles. God and only God gives life. And when he gives life, it's the gift of life. It's not something that we can earn. I mean, if we want to earn something, it's going to be death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life. So I think we have to look at God being the author of life and God being the giver of spiritual life, and the law was never given to impart life. I think that's what a lot of people miss, mm-hmm. but the law was given to highlight people's sinfulness. The law was given to highlight our slavery, our addiction to sin, but it was never given as the solution. It was given to point out the problem, kind of like a CAT scan or an X-ray. It was given to point out the problem, but it doesn't cure anything. And so, you know, when we recognize the proper function of God's law, then we see, well, wait a minute. So I've got to understand my problem through the law, but then I turn to Jesus for my solution. And as far as getting life from the law, I mean, as they say in Chicago or New York, forget about it. because 613 laws staring you in the face, forget about it. all those commands, regulations, and rules, that unbelievable standard, plus what Jesus showed us about the spirit of the law. You know, if you're truly dedicated, cut off your body parts, pluck out your eye, be perfect like God, go sell everything. On and on it goes. The law standard is perfect and impossible, and only God gives life. It's Jesus who's the giver of life, not Moses.
Yeah, I think that's so important, and I want to bring in one more aspect of this. And when you're lost, you're being moved along by sin itself. I love what Paul said in Romans 6. For sin will not have dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. So what that's saying is, when you were lost, when you were under the law of sin and death, sin was large and in charge. So no matter how hard you tried, sin was always moving you down its path. And the end of that path is death. So there's no way to change that course unless God picks you up off of that and puts you on this path of life that is paved by grace through faith. So, you know, that's why Paul said in Romans 8 that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because sin is calling the shots. Sin is the one moving you down the direction. Sin is the one that is programming all the menu items that you get to select. And so every single one of those is going to lead you down that path of death. So we can try, we can give our best shot at fulfilling the law, but sin will always make us fail.
Absolutely. Well, guys, final question. We had this question from Joseph in Hazard, Kentucky, concerning 1 Peter 3:21, whom he says, water baptism requirement for salvation. That's the subject. Is this verse saying that water is only a picture of the real baptism? And he says, I just need some clarity from three of the best, the two Bobs and Andrew.
Well, yeah, it's certainly not saying that water baptism actually saves you. I mean, you look at the passage, and Peter is very careful to correct anybody who might even start to go that direction. It says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, talking about water, talking about H2O. He says it's not that, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We started this program talking today about how we were put in Christ, and because we were immersed, or you could say baptized into Christ, then we were baptized into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that, my friends, is what Peter is talking about here. He's saying water baptism doesn't save you. What is it that saves you? Being baptized into the very resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that you, along with him, are raised to newness of life. You get a new heart, a new spirit, God's spirit within you. Friends, that's the baptism that saves.
Thank you for that, Andrew. We appreciate hearing from Joseph and all of you, Joseph and David and Jeff and Paul, everybody that called on the program today. I don't think the Apostle Paul called, actually, but we've covered a question concerning him. Anyway, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and you can do that just about any time. If you don't hear the live broadcast, well, of course, you can call our voicemail system at 844-322-2742, and we'll be glad to address your question on the Basic Gospel program. Also, I want to remind you, friends, that the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional arrives every morning in your email inbox with an encouraging message from Bob Christopher to start your day. If you've not subscribed to this free resource, you can sign up now at basicgospel.net. Just slide on down to the bottom of the homepage, and there you'll find the sign-up form for the Daily Devotional. We hope that you will get connected and stay connected with Basic Gospel through that medium every day. Well, finally, I already talked about the phone number, so we won't do that again, but it is 844-322-2742, available all day long, 7 days a week, and we hope you'll take advantage of it. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel, and if you have a question to pose, well, we hope you'll have it ready and call us right at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock Central Time, and we'll address it on the Basic Gospel program. In the meantime, have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.